Hello, I'm Dr. Jonathan Barker, pastor here at Amazing Grace Baptist Church in Mount Airy, North Carolina. I would like to personally thank you for taking out time today to tune in to our preaching podcast. We hope that this message will be a great encouragement to your heart today.
Tonight, go with me to Matthew chapter number 5. Matthew chapter number 5. And I want to give you a little thought. I'm probably not going to be long at all tonight. We're going to do a little something different whenever I do get done. But Matthew chapter number 5, I want to read one verse to you tonight, a verse that's just really stirring in my heart. And this is just a verse that God's using in my life right now. And I'm just going to give you, I don't have no outline, I don't have no points, I don't have nothing. I just got this verse. I'm going to read it to you and give you a thought, and we'll go home, okay? Here's what he said. You can just remain seated tonight. Matthew chapter number 5, verse number 6. The Bible said this, "Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled." Let me read it to you again. "Blessed are they that do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled." Yesterday, we was at that Magnify conference, and man, it was a great day. I enjoyed it. Good preaching, good fellowship, and I really enjoyed it. Before we left, I ate breakfast. Ate a pretty decent breakfast, and then whenever we got there, of course, they opened up, and Brother Pope preached our hearts and challenged us, and then we went to breakfast, and one thing that was so wonderful there was they actually had a whole gluten-free menu, a whole gluten-free table, and when you're gluten intolerant, that's always good, amen? And I got some muffins, and I think there was some donut holes Miss Leslie brought over there, and some grapes, and then Miss Mandy got mad because she didn't get a donut, and she went and found somebody and got a, what kind of donut was that? Daylight donut, whatever that is. And man, I filled up, felt great. And we come around to lunchtime, which lunchtime was about 1 or 1:30 there yesterday. And to be honest with you, I'd started to get a little bit hungry. But I knew as soon as lunch was over, was my turn to preach and to speak. So I didn't go to lunch. I stayed there in the sanctuary and talked to Brother Tim, Brother Pope's son-in-law, for a long time. And then Mom and Dad slid in. I talked to them. Then I preached. And then after I preached, they had another little break there. And I got a cup of coffee. Eat another one of those little muffins, then we came back in, and whenever we came back in, Brother Cox preached the house down. Man, I'm telling you, he preached the house down, and then after that, they give away some different things, and I talked to some people at the end, and when I got in the car and started up the road, I'm going to tell you, I was about to starve to death, and let me tell you the reason why. I had got empty of everything that I'd put in me. I was starving to death, and Daddy said, "Where are you eating supper at?" And I said, "Chick-fil-A and Elkin." And he said, "Well, good grief." I said, "Well, that's where I'm going." And I took off to Chick-fil-A just as hard as I could go, went through the drive-thru and got me something to eat, and then stopped on the other side of the drive-thru and changed and let Leslie drive, and I eat coming up the road while she was driving. Let me tell you the reason I wanted something to eat so bad, because I was hungry, because I'd got empty. I was empty. Here's what the Bible said. "Blessed are they that do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled." Let me tell you the reason you're not getting filled with God the way that you need to be filled with God. You ain't hungry. Boy, that's deep, isn't it? You just ain't hungry. You just ain't hungry. Here's the reason we're not hungry is because we fill ourselves up with so much of the world. We pack our schedule so full with this world that we don't hunger for God because we're so full of worldliness. So if I could ask you to pray about anything tonight, I would ask you to pray this prayer. God, empty me of what don't need to be in my life. God, just empty me of it. Over the past few weeks, I've really been trying to pray and discern the Lord on some things. And, of course, January is coming up, and we always challenge the church with a 21-day fast in January. And not an absolute fast, but to pick something to fast from it from those 21 days and to read a certain portion of our Bible. I'm going to go ahead and tell you this year I'm going to challenge you with the book of Psalms. Read seven chapters, a little over seven chapters a day, and in 21 days you'll read the book of Psalms. Of course, some of us has read the whole New Testament in 21 days together during that time. It's interesting. 40 days you can read the Bible through if you'll really dedicate yourself to it. But in 21 days, we'll challenge you with that at the 1st of January. And I was thinking, we need a move of God. You said, preacher, you just talked about six people getting saved this morning. Can I just say something? That was young people. And I thought about this today, and I promise you, I'm not going to talk to you long because we're going to come around the altar and we're just going to pray a while tonight. I thought about this today. If the fire, Brother Elijah, that's in our young people right now would get in our adults. You tell you the reason some young people's getting saved because they're empty in their self. They're getting everything out of their life. And the reason that you're not hungry for God is because you got too much world in you. God, would you empty me? God, would you empty me? God, would you get the unnecessary things out of my life? I thought about this, and I used to hunt a lot, and I was going to some this year, and man, I just lost all interest in it. Just lost all interest in hunting this year. But I was thinking about this, Brother Josh. I used to love to hunt. And matter of fact, yesterday I talked to Jed Cable a while, and his daddy is who got me into bear hunting. Brandon, we all called him Red Man's what we called him. It's Brother Jake's father-in-law, and it's who got me into bear hunting. And man, there was a time that there's no way that I would have missed Brother Josh opening week of bear season. I would have been there, and we'd leave on Sunday night after church, drive all the way up there, and hunt opening week, and I loved it. And I used to love deer hunt. Matter of fact, Miss Leslie knew whenever we first got married, when deer season opened up, Brother Stan, that there was just certain clothes going to stay on the back porch of our house where you come in to our place in East Bend, and she knew not to mess with them. Brother Jonathan, she knew not to spray nothing around them. She knew for about a month and a half there, I was going to be in the woods all the time. You know, I thought about this. We can get up at 4, Brother Aaron, 5 o'clock in the morning, and we can go sit in a deer stand to do something that honestly is just trivial. No matter nothing at the end of the day. Oh, yeah, we might have a little bragging right. Somebody give me an amen. I'm not preaching against hunting. I'm just giving you an instance in my life. I wonder when the last time was that we got so excited about getting up at 4 o'clock in the morning and praying for God to send revival to our church that we couldn't even sleep the night before because we were so anticipating spending time with the Lord. I wonder when it was that we couldn't even sleep the night before because we were so anticipating our morning Bible study and getting in the Word of God and allowing God to speak to our heart. I said, preacher, what are you saying? I'm saying this. We need to get empty. We need to get empty. I appreciate what God's doing in our young people, but what about our adults today? I thought about this. I thought about this. We watch young people get right, and parents rejoice over it, but then the parents never change either. I'm not saying parents are lost, but I'm saying this. It's a sad day when our young people are more on fire for God than our adults are. It's a sad day when we're seeing a work of God greater in our young people than we are in the adults. Are we not supposed to be the example? Are we not supposed to be the ones that set the example? Not our young people setting an example for us. What did he say? He said, I'll fill you. They shout. That's a promise from God. He will fill us. But the reason we're not getting filled so many times is because we've got so much in our life. So I want to ask you this question tonight. What do you need God to empty you of? What do you need God? You say, well, preacher, I just don't know of anything. Well, I want to ask you to pray, God, show me what I need to get out of my life. God, what is that that's in my life that needs to go? I watched a movie the other night, and I made reference to it. It's called The Forge. It's by Sherwood Films. It's really a good movie. I don't agree with everything in it, but I don't agree with me all the time either. But the principles of the things it's in, it's really a good movie. And this young man gets right with the Lord in it. He actually gets saved, and after he gets saved, he's dealing with anger and bitterness towards his father, and God helps him to overcome that. And he begins praying for God to do this. God, help me. God, show me something. What do I need to get out of my life? He's a 17-year-old young man, and God ends up showing in him his PlayStation. And he says, but anything else. You know what he ends up doing? He ends up taking that PlayStation, and he gets rid of it. And the time that he was spending on it, he began spending on his knees praying. And it's amazing to see what God does through the story and the moral of the story and what God does through that. What I'm simply saying is this: God will fill us if we'll just get empty. If we'll just get empty. Sometimes we don't want to get empty, though. We like to hold on to what we have. We like life as normal. You see, if we get empty, there's changes in our life, and we're not interested in changing. I don't know about you, but I sure would love to see God send revival to our church again. I'm not talking about 3 nights of meetings. I'm not talking about 5 nights of meetings. I'm talking about God stirring our hearts and stirring our lives. I thought about this, and Miss Stan, you care to come to the piano and play for us as we pray tonight? Every time, I believe this in all my heart, every time we walk into the church doors, I believe somebody's here lost. I really do. You say you think somebody's here lost tonight? I do. I believe that there is. And I thought about this. We can hinder the work of God in our church. We can hinder the move of the Holy Spirit in our church. And I believe this in all of my heart, that if somebody needs to get saved in a service and because of your ill spirit, they don't, then their blood's going to be required on your hands one day in heaven. The church being right with God is so vitally important to the work of God in the church. Can I say that again? The church being right with God is so vitally important to the work of God in our church. So maybe you need to come to an altar tonight and say, God, empty me of this bitterness. God, empty me of this malice. God, empty me of this anger. And God, in turn, fill me with your spirit. I was doing a Bible study Wednesday afternoon, and it was on anger. And I said, sometimes the reason, or it was on forgiveness, and I said, sometimes the reason that we don't forgive is because we like to hold on to it. We like to hold on to it. Because of bitterness, because of a selfishness. What do you need to be emptied of tonight?